halfway through our series Experiencing the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about what it means to be baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, transformed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And last week, Pastor Robin was with us, and he talked about how the Spirit of God, the power of God through the Spirit, was transferable from Jesus to his disciples in the first century to us today, and that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that enabled Jesus to rise from the dead, living in us. Wow, that's powerful. Now today, what we're going to talk about is being protected by the Spirit. Being protected by the Spirit. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Very familiar verses. Hopefully we'll see some things that will affect you today. Because I find that even with very familiar verses, because the Word of God is alive, He can just strike at our heart and give us a word of encouragement or exhortation right in the middle of a very familiar passage. So as you turn there, let me just remind us about the spiritual battle that we're in. Because oftentimes we don't see it or don't recognize it. We're focused and functioning in our world of things to do and going to school and going to work, making a living, caring for our home, caring for our kids. And that's sort of the meat and potatoes of life as we know it. And yet the Bible is very clear that behind the scenes is this enormous cosmic spiritual war over the souls of people and over the effectiveness of believers. And so we're in this war, and sometimes we don't even see it. And when we talk about spiritual warfare, and we talk about a supernatural enemy, we think about, you know, maybe we think about the 1% of stuff, like Satanism, or the occult, or witches and warlocks, or demons. And I've had experience with all of those things, really, all of those things. But that's probably the 0.1% of the way that Satan affects us or tempts us in our life, because he has much more effective strategies for us that we're going to talk about today that are subtle and deceptive, and he slips in there into our lives and he tempts us in ways that sometimes we don't even see what he's doing. He's that effective. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll read Ephesians 6:10 and following. Dear God, we know we can't understand, read, or apply your word without the Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit, we give you permission to speak to our hearts. We pray we would be filled and open to your leading. We pray your word would be alive to us, that it would jump off the page, that you would give us things that we need to know and do as a result of reading your word today. We thank you in the powerful name of Jesus. We pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read the first few verses, and then later we'll read some more verses. But Ephesians 6:10 following, Paul says to the Ephesian Christians and to us, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then." So let's just stop right there before we take a look at the armor and think about what we've just read. First of all, my first main point is this. Our main battle is a spiritual battle against a supernatural enemy. And I think we have a slide for that, Ken, and I think it's also in your bulletin. You have an insert to help you along. But our main battle is a spiritual battle against a supernatural enemy. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the ruler of this world. But that's not to say that he rules the world completely. Because as we know, God is in control, he's all-powerful, he's sovereign, and Satan, the devil, only operates in the world in the boundaries that God has carefully set, and the boundaries that God allows, and the boundaries that include our protection. I could share a lot of verses about the evil one. The one that I want to focus in on today is John 10:10 up on the screen. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came they may have life and have it abundantly. Satan wants to steal people. He wants to steal souls. He wants the people that would be worshiping God to worship him because he's proud and he wants worship. But he also wants to destroy people. Now, I sincerely believe that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're abiding in the Lord, that your soul belongs to God. I sincerely believe that. And if Satan can't get your soul, which he really wants more than anything, what's he going to go after? What's he going to try to steal from you if he thinks he can't get your soul? What do you think? What's he going to try to steal from you? Your joy. Definitely. Your peace, yes. Your time and your witness. Your physical life to affect you. People would take away, just kill themselves. And then, what's that?
Everything else.
Everything else. Isn't he wants to affect us in everything else. Because he does not want us to be effective disciple makers sharing the witness of Jesus Christ with people around us. That's our mandate that Christ has given us, to be disciple makers, to live for Christ, to live our life in such a way that people say, what's going on in you? I want to know about Jesus because of you. And Satan will do anything to get in the way of that happening. And he will try to steal, and he will try to destroy. I love this verse, Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Amen? That's our powerful God. If he can't, but Satan's trying to steal and attack. I've been reading a book called Industries of the Future. It has a chapter on cybersecurity, which is one of the fastest growing industries in the United States and the world. And our cybersecurity budget for our government is skyrocketing, as it should, over the next 10 or 20 years. So throughout this sermon, I'm going to parallel cyber attacks with spiritual attacks, because I think that's the world we live in, and I think it'll give us a clue to the effectiveness of Satan in our world. And we've been very aware of cyber attacks lately, as we've been reading about Hillary Clinton's leaked personal emails, confidential emails, government emails. We've been reading about that every day as there's new FBI information available. And so we're very aware of what hackers can do in getting into all kinds of personal things. You're probably aware of the attack on, is it DIN? D-Y-N? Is that DIN or DINE? DIN? DINE? Okay, and so that's a company just a week or so ago, New Hampshire-based company that monitors and routes internet traffic, and it may have been the victim of the most massive attack ever. It actually, as a result, put down a lot of East Coast users, and Twitter, Spotify, Netflix, Amazon, Tumblr, Reddit, PayPal, all were affected. And what I've been learning about cyber attacks and cybersecurity is that we were in the Cold War, we're now in the Code War. The weaponization of code, the most significant development in warfare since nuclear material, is what the book said. We think about air, land, sea, and space, and now we think about cyberspace. Greater threat, government says, than terrorism. And you think about the attacks, oftentimes they're for political reason or for profit or just mayhem. And I think about Satan. What are his political reasons wanting to attack us? Well, he wants to build his own kingdom, and not the kingdom of God, his own profit. He wants to profit at our destruction. He wants to profit by taking our souls. And mayhem. He wants to wreak havoc and destruction in our lives. So I see there's quite a parallel there. And even though companies all around the world are trying to respond as quickly as they can with cybersecurity, sometimes slow, sometimes quickly, we know that our powerful God can protect us. He is capable of protecting us. So my second main point today, coming from these first three verses, is this. We have an all-powerful God protecting us from the enemy. And I love this verse from 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We can trust God to have the ability to protect us from our supernatural enemy. And even though we feel very ordinary and very fragile, very vulnerable, our supernatural, powerful God created the universe. He created all spiritual beings, even those that turned against him. But he created them. That's the God we worship, so we can trust him completely. I love this song by Chris Tomlin that we're going to sing as we close our service today. It's called Whom Shall I Fear? And listen to some of the lyrics in this song. It says, Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Through troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. I'd sing it for you, but I want to spare you. Well, have an opportunity in just a few minutes to sing that together. But I love that, the power of God to strengthen and care for us. As it says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the battle belongs to the Lord. Scripture tells us that. Our job is to abide in the Lord. Our job is to stand firm, in our faith. We stand and we trust God to hold us, to take care of us. We trust God to help us to abide in him. And I was thinking that throughout this whole series that we've been talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It really means to abide. It's the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit means to abide in the Lord and just to be strong in our faith, to cling to God and recognize that he can watch over us and take care of us. And as we think about this armor that we're going to put on here, we put on our armor every time the Spirit fills us, leads us, transforms us, empowers us, and protects us. Isn't that true? And there's our Roman soldier. There he is. And you get an idea of what Paul was writing about in Ephesians chapter 6. So how would you like to go into war with sandals and a dress? That is not... That's what they had in those days, even though the dress, the tunic was covered with metal pieces, and they had sharp, jagged metal little pieces or stone or glass on the bottom of their sandals. Still, that looks kind of vulnerable to me. So the necessity of having that very large shield to protect against fiery arrows, to protect against the cavalry had much larger spears and swords, and so you're protecting against cavalry that's coming in and trying to decapitate you. And so they got the helmet there, and you can see that this Roman soldier, typical, has the small little hand-to-hand combat sword that they use. They also had big spears, but this would be your Roman soldier preparing for battle. So we've come a long way from that to the code war. But picture that in your mind now as we look at some of these verses here. So let's read together 6:14-17. And look at the armor that Paul describes for us in our spiritual battle. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, first of all, we have a belt, and we wear belts to hold up our pants. That's a good thing. They wore belts, really, because they were wearing this tunic, this toga, and it would get in the way, and so they would carefully cinch it up so that when they were in battle, it wouldn't distract or it wouldn't detract from their battle. So they had to cinch it all up. That's why they wear the belt. And I'm thinking about how it's a belt of truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, you'll know the truth will set you free. It will set us free. So we think about our own walk, our own spiritual battle, and we think about, well, what is tripping us up in the spiritual battle? The Roman soldier had to be prepared to not be tripped up so he could be ready for warfare. What is tripping you up? If you had to answer that question right now, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but in your own mind, what is tripping you up right now? What do you think? What is it? The evil one's crafty. He tempts us in ways that sometimes we don't even see those temptations coming. But how is he trying to trip you up? Better to confess it, pray about it, and ask God for help, and ask other believers for help. Because Satan will eventually try to expose your sin. So the belt of truth. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. And no Roman soldier would go into battle without a breastplate. It was a tough, sleeveless piece of armor that covered everything apart from his head and limbs. And so it covered the heart. It covered the organs. And it was very, very important to protect the vital organs of the soldier. And I love the fact that the words that God picks for us is that the breastplate is a breastplate of righteousness. Because we know that we are righteous only because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. And we have a right standing with God because Jesus Christ dealt with our sin on the cross. And so even though we might feel sinful as we struggle with this life, we have the imputed righteousness of God upon us. And so it's Jesus' righteousness that makes us righteous. And so the enemy will try to discourage us. He'll attack us at our most vulnerable places, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, our heart. And he often tries to discourage us, to depress us. And yet, we can keep coming back to the cross, can't we? We can keep coming back to the cross and saying, okay, I feel this way, but what I know to be true is that God has declared me not guilty. He has paid for my sin in full. I can confess my sin every day and know that I'm forgiven. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. That takes away the enemy's power because he is the accuser of the brethren. He tries to accuse us before God night and day, and he tries to bring up our sin in our face, and we can just say, I know I'm sinful, O God. I humble myself before you. Cleanse me of my sin. But I know that my sin is dealt with through Jesus Christ. And so I receive him and I abide in him. That's powerful. And so that's the breastplate of righteousness. Satan wants to cloud our minds with false beliefs. He wants to confuse our emotions. He desires to snatch the word from our minds. He wants to numb us to sin so that it no longer disturbs us. He wants us to laugh at sin rather than mourn over it. And to rationalize it rather than to confess it. Satan declares us guilty. God makes us righteous. Satan steals and accuses. God protects our heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. There you go. There you go. Yeah. So the first kind of cyber attack is a confidentiality attack. And that's when someone goes in and they steal and they release your confidential records, your debit, credit card reports. They steal personal information, and usually it's because they're selling it to a company that wants to then sell you products. And that's what happens all the time, most of the time. Although there are things that are a lot more hazardous than that, like when Target was targeted in 2013, and their payment system was affected, and so 30 to 40 million debit card numbers and credit card numbers were made available to all kinds of people. China probably has the 20 most advanced cyber military units in the world, stealing intellectual property from American companies, providing it to Chinese corporations. Our government figures that we lose about $300 billion annually in intellectual property theft, which is about the same amount of money that all American goods sold to Asia. So that's a big deal, isn't it? That's a big deal. And Satan wants to steal. He wants to steal from us. He wants to accuse us. He wants to discredit us. He wants to ruin our reputation, our credibility. He wants to expose our sin. God, through his righteousness, protects us. That's our God. He protects us. He loves us. We're his family. The third piece of armor we're going to talk about is the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace. And as I said earlier, think about ancient soldiers. They're on tough roads, hot roads. They climb over jagged rocks. They're trampling over thorns. They're wading through stream beds. And you think about what it's like for you to go hiking in the wrong pair of shoes. Anyone ever go hiking in the wrong pair of shoes and you paid the price? Yes, you did. Anyone ever try to play a sport and you didn't have the right kind of cleats? There's sort of a legendary tale in the church that comes up every time we play flag football, and people always say, do you remember the time we were playing flag football and Don Jander wore his cleats, as if that were not fair? And everyone reminds Don, you wore cleats. I guess you might have been the hero of that game, Don. And so Paul Fletcher, by the way, is organizing flag football for times on Saturdays and Sundays. And so I don't know if Paul's here. Are you here, Paul? There he is. There's Paul right there. So if you want to play flag football, Paul's your man. And but you have to be a pretty good player, at least be able to run up and down the field without fainting or having a medical emergency. And Ryan's going to play too. Ryan, we need you too. We need a lot of medical people to play with us. But so shoes are important. We know that. And for the Roman soldier, his shoes were important. Interesting that God describes the shoes that Christians wear as shoes of the gospel of peace. So all these pieces of armor, notice how they really relate to salvation in Christ. It's what Christ has done for us. It's the gospel that came to us. It's that we're at peace. We're reconciled with Almighty God. He's no longer our enemy. He's our friend. And so that's what Christ has done for us. The armor is meant to be worn permanently. We aren't supposed to take it off. Yet, because of our humanity, we need to put it on every moment, every day. Alice tells a story of when she was a high school girl, and it's tough to be a high school girl, and you know, your self-esteem sometimes is on the line. And her mother would, when she was getting dressed in the morning, her mother would remind her that as she was putting on her clothes, to put on her spiritual armor so she'd be prepared for the attacks of the evil one in her school. And that stuck with her all her life, and she's shared that with our kids, and it's been a powerful teaching. And so you think about that as you're putting your clothes on in the morning. You're putting on your spiritual armor. It should be on all the time, but we're reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ. And so we have the shoes of the gospel of peace, and we want to be people of peace. We want to be people of peace that can be bring the peace of Christ to all the people around us. And then there's the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so you saw that shield. It's a very large shield. We're talking about 2.5 feet wide. It's designed to protect the entire body of the Roman soldier. It has pieces of wood covered with metal or thick leather, sometimes soaked in water. And it had to be able to handle these flaming arrows that might be coming from the archers behind the scenes. And so those flaming arrows were soaked in pitch, and they were flaming missiles. Can you imagine that? Here you are. You're dealing with hand-to-hand combat. You got cavalry coming at you trying to decapitate your head, and then you have fiery arrows coming from behind. That was warfare in the ancient times. And so you think about those arrows, and you think about what does he throw our way? What are the flaming missiles of the evil one that all of a sudden you just this arrow comes out of nowhere and it's trying to pierce your heart? What are the things that how does he try to hurt you? What do you think? What are the things that just shoo, all of a sudden here it comes? Here comes an arrow from the evil one. What would that be? What would be the kinds of things he'd throw at us? Fears, all kinds of fears, right? Isn't that right up there?
Doubts.
Can we really trust the Lord? Can we really trust his word? Isn't that what he's always done from the beginning of time? Did God really say you can't eat from any tree of the garden? Isn't that the way he works? He said to Jesus, he said, you know what I think? I think that if you were to throw yourself down from the top of this temple, I bet you that God's angels would come and save you. You want to try that? You know, he tries to get us to doubt. What else? What else does he throw? What other arrow says, shoo, all of a sudden, there it is. Didn't see it coming. Doubts, fears. Greed. Okay, greed can be consumed by the green-eyed monster. And all of a sudden, we're just thinking about attainment, maybe. Things we need or things we want instead of focused on the Lord. Yeah. They're all temptations. Those are all temptations. Yes, exactly. And he sometimes custom designs those for us, doesn't he? Custom designs them just for us. He knows our weak spots. He knows the chink in our armor. But again, we come back to our powerful God who can protect us. And he's given the weapons. He's given us these weapons so that we will be protected. And so that's a powerful thing. We can trust our great Lord and God. And so he gives us this shield of faith. He gives us this shield that we can hide behind. He gives us this belief in who he is, a trust in his word. And it's literally something that allows us to stand firm behind this shield of faith. Pretty cool. Second cyber attack is an availability attack, a DDoS attack, distributed denial of service attack. For some of you people, these are words you hear all the time. For others of us, this is new learning. And so most recently, this Dyn company was hit up with one of the most powerful attacks of all time. And massive numbers of requests, hundreds and thousands of computers that are hijacked, strung together, are then attacking one system at the same time. And what I've just learned, and maybe you're learning this too, is the Internet of Things. I hadn't even thought about the Internet of Things. So the fact that in our homes we have internet-connected devices with computing power, smart controls for our home, thermostats, security systems, even maybe your fridge, your toaster, all these things, maybe your car. And so what hackers can do is they can come in and they can because a lot of these things don't have security, they can come in and they can write a program, a botnet, if that means something to somebody, and they come in there and they string these things together. And at the same time, we're talking about millions and millions of things just right at one company, and then it disables it. It completely disables it. So just all these dumb little things in your house with computing power, all at one time, just bombarded. And then the company shut down. Then it affects all these other companies that are shut down. And it's very effective. Have you heard about the Internet of Things? Anybody like me who's just learning for the first time about the Internet of Things? Come on, anybody else? No, just me? Okay, a few of us. I'm the only one that's behind the times. Well, that's kind of scary, but it reminds me of what I think is one of Satan's most effective attacks in our lives. And that is, he hits us up with meaningless information all the time. He deluges us with facts and, I mean, think of all the data that we process with our human computers every single day. I mean, all these emails. For every one email I get, Kevin gets 1,000 emails. Kevin, how many emails do you have right now? 2,000. Down from what? 13,000 emails. Okay, I'm not that important, but you know, I've got emails. I have 3 different email addresses. I'm one of those news guys. I always want to be up on all the latest news, all the latest weather. You know, Toby and I are always on the weather Twitter. You know, what's it going to do in the next 2 minutes? You know, the rain should be coming 5 minutes from now, right? So we're kind of on that. And we have so much data. It's just coming, you know, all the time. Like, oh, hey, the rainstorm's in Redmond. Should be here in 2 minutes. Wait for it. Let's be on the deck. You know, and I've got all my news sources pouring into my smartphone. And it's just, oh, you got to know this. This is happening here, you know. Oh, the Cougars are about to score this very moment. Better get on my phone. There it is. I can watch it. And so you get all this data, all these things, all these facts in our heads. And I think that the enemy then, he prevents us from really focusing on what's the most important, which is living out our faith for Christ. And so we get diverted. Don't you find that to be true? I love Jesus. You love Jesus. I don't think about him as much as I should because I'm just, there's all kinds of stuff coming at me. It's just, it's a DDoS attack. It's just, there it is. And I get paralyzed sometimes. I mean, that's my life. I'm just like, oh, wow, that's Jesus. But, oh, no, the Cougars just scored. Yeah. The dogs won. I mean, that's important stuff in my world. And so I think we have to be careful to make sure that what we're doing is worthwhile. And we look at our day and we say, okay, what did I waste my day on lesser things? Did I waste my day on lesser things? What I did today, was it eternal? Did it have eternal value? Did I help another person? Did I pray for another person? Was I thinking about Jesus? Was I in the Word? Was I in prayer? Or was I just, did I just have one of those days where I just got bombarded with stuff and there was nothing really that happened of substance? So I think that's one way Satan works. The helmet of salvation, fifth piece of armor, he protects. It protected the head of the soldier, because I said the cavalry wanted to cut his head off. He wanted to protect his head, so he had his helmet on. And we again have the helmet of salvation. We have the security and assurance of knowing that we belong to God. And he protects us from discouragement, and he protects us from doubt. 1 John 3:2, we're his kids. You know that? When you protect your kids, that's serious stuff, isn't it, moms? Isn't that dads? When you protect your kids, you'll do anything. You'll go to any level to protect your kids. And it doesn't matter who's coming after them, you're going to protect them. And that's the way our God is with us. He loves us that much that he tells us that we're his kids, we're his family. Beloved, now we are children of God. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we will see him just as he is. He gives us hope. He loves us now, but he has heaven in store for us. He has eternal life with him forever. And that is so awesome. Third type of cyber attack, an integrity attack. And this is an attack that wants to just destroy. You know, we're just talking about not stealing information, not listening in. Just go in and wreak havoc and destroy. And computers get destroyed, code gets destroyed. And this would be the specialty of the Russian government. And so it's a good thing that the Chinese like to just steal very quietly and that we like to listen in quietly. It's not such a good thing that the Russians want to destroy and wreak havoc, like disrupt the voting system in the Ukraine and Georgia and Estonia, which they've done recently. I was thinking about how the enemy fishes. And people will fish, like, for example, it's just an example. But imagine you're a Boeing engineer. Anybody have trouble imagining that? Some of you actually are Boeing engineers. And imagine that you're working at your desk and you get this email, and it has to do with your favorite hobby, which we'll say is, I don't know, electronic planes. You know, you love to fly planes. Let's just say that. And so all of a sudden, here's this email that comes into your email server, and you're like, oh, cool. I wonder what this is. So you click on it because you're interested. It relates to you. It relates to your life. But it was carefully chosen just for you. And somebody wants you to click on that, open it up. You go to this website. It looks completely real. It's completely fake. And they've got your information. And now they have their way in to your company. And so they can either wreak havoc, destroy, steal what they want. And so I think the enemy fishes with us all the time. I think he throws temptations at us. And he just, there it is, right? There it is. Okay. I wonder if we can get them to bite at this. Okay, this will get their attention. Okay, oh, here they come. I got them. And he's fishing, and he wants to get us to a place where we're away from God, where we're away. Praise God that he gives us offensive weapons. Here's my last point. Filled with the Spirit, we take up our offensive weapons, the Word and prayer, and follow Jesus into the places where he is working. He gives us defensive weapons to protect us from the evil one, but he also gives us offensive weapons, because we forget sometimes that the enemy is in retreat. We're the ones in the kingdom of God that are advancing into his territory. We're the threat to him. He's the prince of the power of the air, but here we are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, and Jesus is taking people into his kingdom every single day around the world. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people becoming believers every week around the world. And so here we are actually on the offensive, marching into Satan's territory, and that's why he doesn't like us at all, because we're with the Lord, and he's the point man on patrol, and we're following him into the places where he's working. That's what we're doing. That's what it means to stand firm. We're standing firm, but we're marching forward at the same time. Does that make sense? Standing firm, defensive armor in place, putting it on every day, every moment, and yet we're marching forward, following God into this spiritual battle. And it may not feel like a spiritual battle, but the moment you open your mouth and talk about Jesus, the moment you help a friend in need, the moment that you represent Christ with loving kindness, the moment you pray with power for what God's going to do, you're on the attack. You're on the attack. And he's given you the word, the sword of the Spirit, the word and the Spirit coming together perfectly, because we can't even understand the word without the Spirit. And yet there is the Spirit empowering us to understand the word, and we can use that word. I gave you a second insert. Can I borrow one over here, Alice? I gave you guys a second insert because I wanted you to have some of my favorite verses that have to do with warfare. And I absolutely need these verses, and I use these verses, and I memorize these verses, and they're a part of me, these verses. I picked out my favorite ones for you to have. And put this on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. Put it on your desk. Look at some of these verses. I've mentioned a bunch of them already throughout the service, but to be aware of the Word of God and its power to us, to let it instruct us, to give us confidence in the power of our God to protect us, to remind us that we are capable of submitting to God and resisting the devil because of the work of Christ in us. And so I hope that this will be helpful to you as you look through these, as you think about the victory we have in Jesus. That's been our theme for the service, and that really comes down to the fact that we have victory as we follow Christ. He is victorious, and we're following him. We've already chosen the winning side. And it ends up here. Let me just read this last part here, because this isn't really part of the armor, but it is. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The power of prayer. Prayer is the muscle of faith. Prayer is the language of the Holy Spirit. And so we come back to the word in prayer. Ordinary things. No, supernatural. Supernatural weapons in the warfare where we find ourselves in. So, a lot to share. I spoke quickly. A lot going on there, but we can trust our God to watch over us. Let's pray as we close our service. Dear Father God in heaven, we delight in you. Thank you for giving us the truth and making us free. Thank you for the life that you give to us that's abundant life. Thank you that you have and are destroying the devil's work. Thank you that you've made us overcomers and victorious in Christ. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that we're tempted people. Lord, we pray that we'd recognize the temptations, the fiery arrows of the evil one. And we pray, Lord, that you'd protect us and that we'd be able to come underneath your protection and know that you're there for us, Lord God. Thank you that you demolish strongholds. Thank you that the Word of God and that our prayer in the Spirit is powerful. And we don't ever want to forget that, Lord. So may we keep our armor on and be people of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.